ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
First to begin from Yuktahara Vihara, isn't it? But we will not be doing text number 16 and 17, because earlier you all have discussed about that in Atyahara Prayasas, isn't it? Already the subject matter was discussed about how much is too much and how less is too less. So we will not be discussing those two. Today we shall go to the 18th verse.
यदा विनियतं चित्तं आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निःस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यो युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा।
When the yogi by practice of yoga disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. So between 6.18. So between text 10 to 17, Krishna has been describing about how the Ashtanga yogi should meditate, isn't it? Shuchodeshe prishta pistaramasanam atmanah, beginning from that shloka. How the yogi should live in the forest, how he should lay kushagrahas, how he should sit in meditation, concentrating on the tip of the nose, and how he should restrain his senses from other sense objects, how he should not eat too less or he should not eat too much. So all those prescriptions are given before this shloka. Here this is the concluding shloka in that series, between 11 to 18, where Krishna describes the Yoga Ruda stage. Yoga Ruda is a perfected stage of Ashtanga Yoga, where he says, when the yogi by practice of yoga disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, which means devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. So the Ashtanga yogi here in the perfected stage is supposed to be free from all material desires. What is a material desire? Material desire means any desire separate from service to Krishna is called as material desire. Any desire in this world. This material desire in this world manifests in the form of attachment to something material. It may be some material object, or it may be a person, it may be a thing, it can be anything of this world. Anything that takes us away from the ultimate goal of samadhi is called as material desire. Here, the eighth stage of Ashtanga Yoga is called as samadhi. The meaning of the word samadhi is to completely absorb all one's body, words and mind in the object of worship. This is called as samadhi. Samyak adhiyate yasmin atmatattvahi adhyatma. It is said, completely focusing all one's energies in the Supreme Lord, in the object of worship. That is actually called as samadhi. So when one wants to achieve the state of samadhi, there are so many distractions from all sides. There are distractions from this world. When the living being comes to this world, he can become attached to money, he can become attached to land, he can become attached to his family members, father, mother, children, wife. One can become attached to so many things in this world. There are unlimited things to which you can become attached to. So when this attachment develops towards these things without focusing on Krishna, then it is called as a material desire. So the material desire, it is said, it gives a flickering pleasure that it leads to the ocean of misery. This is the meaning of material desire. Material desire means it gives you flickering pleasure, but leads you to an ocean of misery. So it can be easily seen how, for that matter, any material desire that one possesses in this world, in the beginning it appears to be satisfying to one. That's why it is said, Yadadagre amritamiva sariname vishamiva, it is said. Yadadagre, adagre means in the beginning. In the beginning it appears like amrit. It appears as if it is giving pleasure. Parinam, what is the result of that? Vishamiva. It is poisonous. So, the material desires are compared to broken pieces of glass, which are neither useful, at the same time dangerous. The example was given by Dhruva. Kacham vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. Dhruva prayed that I came into this forest in order to beg you for a kingdom greater than my grandfather, Brahma. But now I understand how a great fool I was. Because the material desires are like broken glass pieces, which are neither useful, at the same time they are dangerous. Because broken glass pieces can cut your hands if you touch them. In the same way, material desires, they only lead to more and more hankering in the heart. A constant hankering, which can never be satiated with any amount of endeavor. And only at one point of time, this hankering is going to end. Do you know what is the point? Death. That means it has not actually ended, you have just changed over to another body, where you continue to hanker. So, one should not get trapped by this material desires. Here, with respect to the yogi, these material desires are considered distractions from the samadhi stage. Samadhi is his goal, but these material desires are different distractions for him. So, yogi is supposed to do pratyahara, shutting off of all the senses. Like you should not enjoy two palatable foodstuffs. That's why we were reading about yukta ahara vihara. Yukta ahara vihara you should follow, so that he doesn't become attached to the tongue or the objects of the eyes, objects of the nose, objects of the ears, objects of the sense of touch. Yogi has to escape from all these things, because these are the senses through which we come in contact with the sense objects in this world. Every one of the senses can develop attachment to the sense objects. And also Krishna uses the word mind here. Disciplines the mental activities. Why? Because the mind is like the reservoir of all desires, and the mind is connected to all the senses. Without the mind, how can the senses enjoy? The senses are actually reporting to the mind. Mind is like the boss, and all the senses are subordinate to the mind. So through the senses we take in the information of the sense objects and supply to the mind, and the bewildered mind wants to enjoy. So yogi also has to discipline his mental activities. So a yogi is now, as we read in Ashtanga Yoga, trying to do pratyahara, completely shut off all the senses without giving them any food. This is the way he is trying to shut off all the senses. The food, when we talk, it is not only for the tongue. There is food for the eyes, food for the nose, food for the tongue. What does that mean? Food means the ahara. When we say, it is not only food, ahara is for every one of the senses. So every one of the senses that we possess has an inherent craving when we are in a conditioned stage. There is an inherent craving in every one of the senses. And this craving is very difficult to satisfy. And everyone in this world is trying to satisfy the craving by varieties of ways, by so many different ways. So here the yogi is trying to shut it off. Is it possible to shut it off? Not fulfilling the demands of the senses is like keeping an animal under captivation. You tie an animal with a rope and tie it to a pole, you have of course very tactfully controlled the animal, but the animal may anytime escape. The animal may attack you and run away. In the same way, the yogi's senses are artificially controlled, but he has actually not gained true control over the senses. That is why sometimes the yogi falls down, because the senses cheat him. Like Vishwamitra Muni or Saubari Muni, such great sages have fallen down after several thousand years of penance. So mind cannot be disciplined unless it is given a proper engagement. Mind needs a proper engagement. As Krishna said earlier, Tani Sarvani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matparaha. He said, you withdraw the senses, but you give them a right engagement. Otherwise the mind is going to give trouble. One cannot successfully control the senses for a long time. It's only a matter of time the mind will cheat a person. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport about how a devotee, a Krishna's devotee is not like this Ashtanga Yogi who artificially controls the senses. Rather, Krishna's devotee engages all the senses in Krishna's service. Prabhupada gives the sloka, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravantiyo. We have studied it earlier also. How to engage the eyes by seeing the deity, ears, nose and all the different senses. So now, if one has successfully controlled the mind and the senses, then one arrives at the next stage. Text number 19.
Yata deepo nivatastho
ningate
sopamasmrita yogino yata chittasya
yunjato
yogamatmanah.
As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendental self. So the example is given here, a beautiful analogy. Just like if a lamp is kept in a windless place, it does not waver. In the same way, yogi's meditation is fixed. It does not waver. Later on we'll be reading how, when a person is not fixed in meditation properly, then how his mind is turbulent, how it is wavering, chanchalaha, how it is powerful. All those things are explained by Arjuna later. So, when one comes to this particular stage of samadhi, one's mind becomes completely calm, cool and collected. The mind of a pure devotee, it is said, is like a serene lake, which has no turbulence, no waves, which is completely calm and crystal clear. So, a yogi's mind is supposed to be like that. Later, in the next book also we see the same thing about the nature of the mind of a yogi, how it is completely calm. When the mind is calm, it is very easy for one to achieve the samadhi stage. You will see how the ocean, when the tides are very high, it also carries all the dirt and slag and very, very ugly, very dirty things. It carries along with the waves. It can never dispose them off, especially during the full moon. The tides are too high and they carry all the dust and dirt, fungus and all those things, shells. But when the waves are completely calm, there are no waves in the ocean, and the entire ocean is very calm, then you will see that it is throwing out all the wastes, all the fungus and shells and dirty things. It throws it away. Similarly, a yogi should endeavor to pacify the mind, which is always roaring with material desires. So the material desires are like a prime mover. You know, a prime mover for a machine, if you put on the motor, it keeps on going and gives rise to so many things, whether it is lifting the water or, you know, running the fan. It is doing some work, isn't it? A prime mover is doing some work. Similarly, the material desires are like a prime mover, which are constantly producing multiple desires. One desire becomes five, five becomes ten, ten becomes hundred. There is no end to satisfying the material desires. And the material desires are multiplying, and one becomes restless in body and mind. In working very hard with the body and constantly making plan in the mind. Mind is stretched to the limits, and body also is accordingly proportionally stretched, because you think by hard work I can fulfill these desires. So one has to get rid of this material desires, otherwise one cannot come to the samadhi stage. So material desires are already there, just like a surakumbha nivapaka. He gives the example, or if there is a pot with liquor, even if you throw out the liquor, still the smell doesn't go. Similarly, even if we throw away the material desires artificially, forcibly, the propensity to again invite such desires does not go away. One desire goes and another desire comes in. So only by spiritual and especially Krishna conscious engagement can one replace the material desires with pure spiritual desires. There is no other alternative. So here he explains how the yogi, after achieving this status of disciplining the mind and freeing the heart of all material desires, he is able to become a free bird. Now he is able to focus and meditate in samadhi. So, bhoga and aishwarya, these two things, bhoga, aishwarya, prasaktana, taya, apahrita, chetasam. But whereas a person who is attracted to this bhoga and aishwarya, apahrita means he is pulled away from the stage of meditation. He never can experience what is meditation. as long as his mind is dwelling in material desires. So how long is it going to take us to become free from material desires? Does anybody know some calculation? How long is it going to take for us to become free from material desires? Either one moment or not even in millions of years. That is the answer. Is it a surprise to you? You can become free from all material desires in one moment. Or even if you struggle for millions of years, you may not become free. You may continue. So it depends on the individual's sincerity of how one fervently takes shelter of the process, shelter of Krishna consciousness. Then one can become free. So one has to be very serious in spiritual life. So after he achieves the stage of samadhi, which is the most cherished goal of all the transcendentalists, do you know what he experiences? That is explained in the next verse.
Yatro paramate chittam,
niruddham
yoga sevaya,
yatra
chaivatmanatmanam,
pashyannatmani
tushyati,
sukham atyantikam
yattat,
buddhigrahyam
atindriyam,
veti
yatra
na chaivayam,
titaschalati
tatvatah,
yam labdhva
chaparam
labham,
manyate
nadhikam
tatah,
yasmin
sthithona dukkhena,
gurunapi
vichalyate,
samvidya
dukkha
samyogam,
yogam
yogam
yoga sanyitam.
Translation: in the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So in the beginning of this verse it is said, yatra uparamate chittam. One, after having become free from all material desires, yatra uparamate chittam. Niruddham yoga sevaya, how is it made possible? Yoga sevaya, by superior engagement. So there are three types of yogis, jnani, and ashtanga yogi, and the bhakta. So they all have their respective goals to be achieved. The jnani wants to achieve the Brahman, that is his goal. And ashtanga yogi, if he becomes perfect by worshipping the Vishnumurti in his heart, then he can see Lord Vishnu face to face, like Dhruva Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu. Many great yogis have achieved the platform of seeing Lord Vishnu face to face and become situated in Shantaras. Or if Ashtanga Yogi also has the conception that the Absolute Truth is impersonal, then he also has his goal as impersonal Brahman. Whereas a Bhakta, he achieves the stage of seeing Krishna face to face in the stage of Samadhi. He can see Krishna, he can speak to Krishna, he can reciprocate with him. So that is the samadhi for a bhakta. So all the three transcendentalists have their respective samadhi stage. And in that stage, what do they feel? How do they experience it? That is explained. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self. Pashyan atmani tushyati. Having seen the self, they become completely satisfied in this platform. So they can clearly see that I am different from the body. Just like a cobra is different from a coconut, or like a, what do you call it, the supari, you know, betel nut you call it? It is different from the cover. They can clearly see in the same way, I am different from the body. Not only that, Krishna, as we read earlier, Brahma Samsparsham, I think we will be reading later, I think. It is just in Brahma Samsparsham. By having come in contact with the Lord, one experiences a special kind of happiness called as the boundless transcendental bliss. Sukham ఆత్యంతికం ఎత్తత్ బుద్ధి గ్రాహ్యం అతీంద్రియం ఇట్ కెనాట్ బి నార్మలీ పర్సీవ్డ్ బై ఎనీబడి సో యూ గెట్ వన్ ప్లెజర్ బై ఇండల్జింగ్ ఇన్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ అండ్ యూ గెట్ అనదర్ ప్లెజర్ బై అబ్స్టైనింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ అండ్ ఎంగేజింగ్ యువర్ మైండ్ అండ్ సెన్సెస్ ఇన్ ద సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ సుపీరియర్ సెకండ్ వన్ ఇస్ నాట్ ద సుపీరియర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ మిలియన్స్ అండ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్స్ గ్రేటర్ బికాస్ ద ప్లెజర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ బై సెన్స్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఎస్పెషల్ ఇన్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ ఈస్ ప్యూనీ అండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఫ్లికరింగ్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ 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 స్మాల్ అండ్ వెరీ టెంపరీ ఇట్ డిసపియర్స్ ఇట్ వానిషెస్ ఇన్ స్మాల్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ అండ్ బ్రహ్మసుఖ ఇస్ వెరీ వాస్ట్ ఇట్ కంపేర్ టు ఓషన్ బై వన్ ఇస్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ బ్రహ్మన్ వన్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ గ్రేట్ బ్లెస్ వేర్ ఈవెన్ దట్ బ్లెస్ ఇన్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ కంపేర్డ్ టు బి అ స్మాల్ టైనీ పడిల్ ఆర్ అ డ్రాప్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్ ఇన్ కంపారిజన్ టు ద హ్యాపీనెస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఇన్ భక్తి దట్ ఇస్ సర్ సో కెన్ ఇమాజిన్ వాట్ కుడ్ బి ద స్టేటస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ డివోటీ హూ ఇస్ కంప్లీట్లీ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ దట్ స్టేజ్ సో వన్ హూ ఇస్ అ ఫాలోయర్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఆర్ ఎ జ్ఞాని హీ హాస్ టు మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ బ్రహ్మన్ విచ్ హాస్ నో ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఇంపర్సనల్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఓన్లీ అ ఇన్ఫినిట్ ఎఫల్జెన్స్ సో విశ్వామిత్ర మెడిటేటెడ్ ఆన్ ద బ్రహ్మన్ యూ వాంట్ బికమ్ అ బ్రహ్మ రిషి బట్ యూ ఫెల్ డౌన్ వై హాస్ కృష్ణ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ క్లేశో అధికతరస్తేషాం అవ్యక్త ఆసక్త చేతసాం అవ్యక్త ఆసక్త ఇస్ ఇస్ అటాచ్డ్ టు ద అవ్యక్త ఇంపర్సనల్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ట్రబుల్సమ్ ఇస్ ఇస్ క్లేశో అధికతరస్తేషాం అవ్యక్త హి గతిర్ దుఃఖం ఇస్ ఇస్ అవ్యక్త హి గతిర్ దుఃఖం దుఃఖం దేహవద్ర వాప్యతే అవ్యక్త హి గతిర్ దుఃఖం ఇస్ ఇస్ the gati at the end of the life also is full of misery for them because all of a sudden they will come to know that the absolute truth is not impersonal it is a personal god they have to change their wrong opinion which they carry throughout their life so jnani is for them to come to samadhi is very difficult and even if they come they cannot stay there permanently patanti yado anadrita yushmadangraya they fall down back to the materialistic activities of this world and a yogi who concentrates on the Vishnumurti, he may achieve the samadhi stage by seeing Vishnu. When Dhruva was meditating in his own heart, Paramatma, at one point of time, Paramatma immediately appeared in his front. In front of him, Lord Vishnu appeared with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, and he gave darshan and gave him all blessings. So yogi may be in a shanta relationship, neutral relationship with the Lord, and he get the darshan of the Lord in samadhi. And what is the samadhi for a bhakta? It is explained by Srila Prabhupada, how for a bhakta, engaging one's body, one's words, one's mind 24 hours a day in remembrance of Krishna. This is actually the meditation of a devotee. A devotee who is in meditation does not sit in one place and close his eyes and meditate like a yogi or a jnani. The devotee need not go to the forest. He need not go to Himalayas. He need not renounce from all eating and eat some roots and herbs. He doesn't have to live like that. Nor is he required to concentrate on the tip of his nose and squint his eyes. He doesn't have to do all that. He doesn't have to emaciate his body. All he needs to do is to simply focus his mind and his energies in Krishna's service. This is a bhakti yogi. How is it to be done? Has to be learned from the topmost devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. So, in bhakti yoga, there are several bhaktas. But among all the bhaktas, the topmost are considered to be the gopis. As we sing in this prayer, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya Staddhama Vrindavana Samya Kajit Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalpita. The Vrajavadu, the gopis of Vrindavana are the topmost devotees of Krishna. In fact, in the spiritual sky, there are unlimited living entities of which the gopis are considered the topmost devotees of Krishna. Because even the other devotees who are devotees of Krishna are all considered lesser because they are either in neutral relationship like the trees and the plants and cows and other living beings or they are in a servant relationship as a das, raktak, patrak, all of them are in servitor relationship or in a friendly relationship like sakas, as a friend or in a parental mood like Yashoda Ananda Maharaj. And the topmost of the gopis, they are in the conjugal relationship, which is considered the topmost. And in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, it is explained how amongst the five rasas, the Madhuri Ras is the topmost, because it includes all the previous four. Because in Madhuryaras, your devotee has respect and reverence for Krishna. At the same time, they also have a equal relationship, friendly relationship. There is also a relationship where one feels that Krishna is maintained by me. All the moods of the previous rasas are all included in the Madhuryaras. So Madhuryaras is the complete manifestation of love of a devotee for Krishna. And in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya it is explained, the ultimate goal of a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to become servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. This is the actual goal. Everyone potentially is Prakriti or Sandhanan. There is only one Purusha in the spiritual world. Who is that? He is Krishna. And all the other jivas are considered feminine, not because all of them are gopis. There may be gopas, there may be sakhas, but they are considered prakriti because they are enjoyed. They are not the enjoyer. Krishna is the only bhokta. Everyone else is bhogya. So in the spiritual world, amongst all the gopis, the devotees, Radharani is considered the topmost devotee, unparalleled devotee, who is in a stage called as Mahabhav, completely absorbed in love for Krishna. And she cannot even one moment not think of Krishna. That is her stage. And Radharani has many sakis. The prominent ones are called as the Parama Preshta sakis. There are actually 8 of them, called as Ashtasakhi. You see the picture behind? Yeah, there's a beautiful picture of the Gopijana Vallabha. Radha Krishna standing and the Ashtasakhi surrounding them. So if you go to Mayapur, you can see this beautiful Ashtasakhis. So these are called as Parama Preshta Sakis, who are very, very close to Radha and Krishna. And next to them, there are 64 Sakis called as Priya Sakis. And they are all grouped into 8-8. And they are also very, very close to Krishna. And some of them are called as Krishna Snehadika, because they are very close to, very, very fond of Krishna. And some of them are called as Radha Snehadika. So they are very fond of Radharani. Some are called as Sama Snehadika. They are attached to both Radha and Krishna, the divine couple. And next to them, there are many, many Sakis and also Manjaris, but they are all called by a specific name, by Prana Sakhi or Nitya Sakhi. Why they are called as Prana Sakhi? Because they are considered very intimate and close to Radharani. In fact, the Manjaris are in a divine transcendental mood called as Bhava Ullasarati. Bhava Ullasarati. This is their mood. That mood is explained in the Gaudiya Vaishnava song. How, with that mood, they serve Radharani. Like the other Sakis, sometimes the Ashta Sakis and the 64 Sakis, even Radharani encourages them to dance with Krishna in the Julan, or dance with them in the Rasa dance. Whereas the Manjaris will never dance with Krishna. They will never reciprocate with Krishna directly. Their relation is with only with Radharani like that. That's why they call Prana Sakis. They are very close to Radharani. In fact, when there are divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna in places like Seva Kunj, all the other Sakis go away when the confidential pastimes take place. But only the Manjaris are allowed, because the Manjaris are like 10 years, 11 years. They are very young. So they are allowed to serve betel nuts, they are allowed to do the chamar, and they can bring flowers for making garland, and they can serve different foodstuffs to Radha and Krishna. And they are allowed to roam around in the place where Radha and Krishna are performing pastimes, because they are considered very young. So this is the speciality of the Manjaris in the spiritual world. And the Manjaris, even if given an opportunity to dance with Krishna in the swing, they would not, because they are so attached to Radha and Krishna. In fact, their conviction is that they want to always see Radha and Krishna united together and always performing conventional pastimes. So in this way, the gopis of Vrindavan are constantly absorbed in meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the only meditation. Prabhupada explains how once when Krishna and Balaram, when they were herding the cows, when they were tending the cows and entering the forest, Krishna took his flute and started playing. When the sweet sound of the flute pervaded in the entire atmosphere, all the living beings in Vrindavan became completely enlivened. It is explained how this Krishna's playing of the flute affected the living beings of Vrindavan is elaborately explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis are immediately assembling together and talking about Krishna's flute. So one gopi was telling, just see this Krishna, how beautiful he is. He is having a blue color flower plucked to his ears, and he is wearing a peacock feather on his head, which is so beautiful. and desiring a rope around his hands. You have seen the rope which they use for tying the cow's back legs while milking the cows. Just like a simple covered boy, Krishna was carrying a rope in his shoulders, and he was carrying a stick in one hand, and he was wearing a buffalo horn in the other, and he was wearing a beautiful pitambara dress, yellowish silk garments, and Balaram was wearing bluish garment. So in this way, when Krishna Balaram were entering the forest, this gopi was telling, just see, they look like dancing actors, so beautiful, and the sound of his flute is pervading the entire forest. And all the peacocks were dancing, they became so stunned in ecstasy that they stopped dancing. They started very attentively hearing. Now all the chirping birds were making so much noise all around the forest, they stopped chirping and started to hear attentively. And the gopis were conversing amongst themselves. One gopi was saying, just see this flute, how fortunate he is that he is being played by Krishna by having in his own divine hands. Certainly the mothers of the flute should be very pleased. Who are the mothers of the flutes? The rivers and the lakes. Because the rivers and the lakes are giving water for the bamboo trees to grow, which are in the banks of those rivers. So the river is compared to the mothers. So mothers must be very happy seeing this. Not only that, the forefathers of this bamboo, the grandfather of the bamboo, they also must be happy that their descendants are engaged in engaged as a flute for Krishna. Exactly like learned people, there is great pleasure seeing their grandchildren and children engaged in Krishna consciousness. I don't know how many people rejoice that. But they said like that. They rejoice, the great learned people rejoice seeing their children engaged in Krishna consciousness. In the same way, the forefathers of the bamboo, which Krishna is playing, they must be very pleased. So another gopi was telling, just see the deers, how they are so captivated by the flute of Krishna that they have all of them have come in a big group running to Krishna, and they are looking towards Krishna's face with so much attraction, and they are offering their respectful obeisances. And the gopi said, I am very envious of these deers, because all these deers, they have come with their respective husbands to offer their worship to Krishna. When we want to worship Krishna, our husbands hate it, they don't like it, but these deers are so fortunate that they are worshipping Krishna with their family. So another gopi was telling, not only that, just look at the sky, all the demigods who are flying in the aeroplanes, when they are flying, when they heard Krishna's flute, they have become stunned and they feel like stopping instantly hearing the sound of the flute. So in a few moments they observed that there were some cows who had become stunned hearing Krishna's flute, and they saw that the cows were spreading their ears all around to find out where the sound of the flute is coming from. So they were also trying to drink the nectar of Krishna's flute by extending their ears. And the calves, which were drinking milk from their mothers, and the nipple of the cows were in the mouth of these calves, but they became so stunned that they forgot to suck the milk, and their ears were showering tears of joy, and they had become completely stunned with love for Krishna. So in this way, and gopis one after the other are so wonderfully describing the different realizations they have about the different living beings in Vrindavan. And one gopi observed the sky. She said, just see the cloud, the rumbling cloud. She is never to be found in the autumn season, because in autumn, generally it is very hot in autumn. But because the sun is so hot, the clouds must have felt that Krishna must be feeling the scorching heat. Let us go and make friendship with him. So the clouds have come, and they are now acting exactly like a big umbrella over the head of Krishna Balaram, and they are drizzling slowly so that Krishna Balaram will feel very happy even during the autumn season. And just see the Yamuna, who always has fierce waves, but now she has become reduced in her waves, has become very calm, and she has carried lotus flowers for offering to Krishna. She is very mildly and gently coming and offering the lotus to the feet of Krishna. And one gopi said, just see this Govardhan, how Govardhan, all the hairs on his body are standing because Krishna is touching his body with his own lotus feet, and he is showering so much water lakes for the benefit of Krishna and his friends. And Govardhan has so much fresh green grass with which all the cows and calves can graze there. So in this way, the gopis, one after other, they were making so many comments about Krishna and his friends. How they are going in the forest, how they are playing on the flute. This was their meditation, only meditation during the day. So this is the meaning of samadhi. Samadhi means moment after moment after moment, one is completely absorbed in the various pastimes of Krishna. To begin with, they meditate on Krishna's name, and then the roop, the form, and then the lila. So naam, roop, lila, ityadi, it is said. So one meditates gradually, beginning from the name, then pastimes, the name, form, pastimes and activities. And in this way, one becomes completely absorbed. Even today, in Vrindavan, if you see, there are great devotees of Krishna who just meditate on one pastime of Krishna throughout their life. There are great devotees sitting near Govardhan. They can absorb in one pastime of Krishna lifting the Govardhan throughout their entire life. That is a meditation. This is absorption of a devotee. Complete absorption in that. So, in this way, throughout Bhagavatam, we can see many examples of great devotees completely absorbed in Krishna. As our mind always becomes absorbed in sense gratification, no matter how much you pull it out, in the same way, devotee's mind immediately, fastly flows towards Krishna. Like once when gopis became angry on Krishna, they said, now we will not think of Krishna any longer. So they sat in meditation to remove Krishna from their heart. But they couldn't. They couldn't remove Krishna, even for a moment. The more they sat in meditation, they wanted to talk for a few minutes to the other gopis. They said, see, Krishna did like this, he did like that. So he is a big cheater, so let us forget him. And then again they would sit in meditation. Again some thoughts of Krishna will come. So again they will go and talk to their neighborhood gopis. In this way they went on talking and crying, tears, remembering Krishna. So in this way we can see that inability to forget Krishna. This is actually the stage of samadhi. And one cannot forget the Lord, even for a moment. Actually this happens after one crosses the anartha nivritti and one comes to say a stage of nishtha. First of all, one should have a deep-rooted faith in all the wisdom that one achieves from the Vedic literatures. After that, one comes to the stage of ruchi. In ruchi stage, one becomes so maddened by love for Krishna that anything and everything that happens around him, he immediately is able to relate it to Krishna. This is Krishna's arrangement. He is able to immediately see everything. So, only in such a stage, one can begin the process of samadhi. From ruchi and then rati and bhava and prema, one can become completely absorbed in that. Akrura, who was also a great devotee, was sent as a messenger by Kamsa to invite Krishna to come to Mathura. Akrura was also meditating like that. He was first meditating on Krishna's hand. He said, Krishna, your hand is so divine that you touch the head of Lord Indra with your own hands. He just accepted little water as an offering from him. And you touched his head and gave him all blessings. Not only that, Bali Maharaj, you with three steps of your lotus feet, you completely took away all the three words. And by offering your blessings to Bali Maharaj, you made him the Indra of Sutala Loka. Similarly, Akrura was telling, with the same hands, let me also get a benediction that you touch my head. He desired that Krishna should touch his head with his own divine hands. In this Akrura, when he was going to Vrindavan in his chariot, he was completely absorbed in meditation of Krishna. He was thinking, what will Krishna think? Maybe he will feel that I am an enemy, I am coming as a representative of Kamsa. And then he said to himself, no, he knows very well, he is Paramatma seated in everyone's heart. So he will understand that I am his devotee, I am his unmotivated devotee, who simply wants to love him without any motivation. And then he said, when I go to Vrindavan, I will get down from my chariot and offer my prostrated obeisances on the ground, and I will roll on the ground of Vrindavan, and Krishna will come and touch me and lift me with his own hands. And when Krishna will touch me, my body will be touched by his body, my body, my mind, my heart and my soul, everything will become completely cleansed. And in this way I will become completely purified. And Krishna will embrace me. And Akrura was telling to himself that Krishna and Balaram will call me Uncle Akrura. So he was meditating like that constantly. You can see, when I heard it for the first time, I was so inspired by this pastime of Akrura remembering Vrindavan. And it was not very difficult for me to understand that. How? Because I could understand, in whatever way material rigors are attacking our mind, in that way Krishna can't just start attacking his mind, isn't it? Very easy. You are chanting. When you are chanting, so many material issues come in between. What about this? Mind keeps asking. What about that? Have you arranged for this? What about something that's going to happen after 10 years? Like one devotee was telling me in Bombay, that he said, my mind can go so far. I don't know how am I going to manage. I'm not going to take any Mataji disciples. He was telling me, how is mind? First of all, you are not even a proper devotee. Before that, mind, actually, just like that story we said, you know, somebody carrying a pot of milk, you know, she was thinking of so many things, far-fetched ideas. Mind takes you far, far away. So many desires keep coming in the mind like that. In the same way, the gopis are feeling thoughts of Krishna coming in their mind, one after other. One after other, so many thoughts coming in the mind. So this is our ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to achieve the mood of a Manjari. Where one simply wants to stand by the side of Lalita and Vishakha and assist them, not even in finding Krishna, but in giving them the articles for worshipping Krishna and simply obey them. This is actually the aspiration of Narottamadas Thakur and Siddhilal Sasan, he prays. So, this is the samadhi in which one absorbs himself. But one should not try to artificially enter into this type of samadhi. Otherwise it is very, very dangerous. Once we talk today, this is the loftiest philosophy in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. We are never supposed to talk of such things in ordinary classes. Because these are meant for those souls who are completely purified. The ones which I told you today. Still we are hearing it for purification. So that at least we should know what is the stage in which we want to achieve. So only when we hear about such great devotion of great devotees, then we will also have a desire that let me also become a pure devotee. Let me give up all my material desires. Otherwise, if one tries to artificially jump into this type of meditation, then one can fall victim to the sahajayism, sahajayic tendency. Even during Srila Prabhupada's times, there were many of his disciples who read the Krishna book and became very inspired. And all of them understood that we all have a swarupa. Swarupa means your original form in the spiritual world, which is called a swarupa. Nobody knows whether we are a gopi or a gopa or a cow or we are a friend of Krishna or a parent of Krishna. We do not know. But every one of us has definitely a swarupa, a form. So when they heard about the swarupa pranali, they became very enthusiastic and eager. Of course they chanted Hare Krishna, but they were not patient. You see a girl, small girl, who is 4-year-old. If she wants to know, please tell me mother, when will I get married? When will I get my husband? And when will I get a child? Please tell me about pregnancy. Can she understand? Even if she stands in the shoes of her mother, can she still understand what is pregnancy? She may wear mother's shoes, but she doesn't become mature by that. In the same way, as neophyte devotees, if we try to artificially jump into this kind of meditation, by thinking of Krishna's pastimes, it can prove to be fatal. One may fall down from spiritual life. So some devotees in Prabhupada's times went to Prabhupada and said, now Prabhupada, we want to know our swarupa, please tell us immediately. So that we can act according to our swarupa, either as a gopi or whatever, can act. There are sahajas in Vrindavan who even put on saris and say that we are gopis. So Prabhupada told once, to Jayadeva Swami was telling, simply by putting on saris you cannot cheat Krishna. Krishna will not become cheated that you are a gopi. Simply by wearing a sari. So it is a matter of consciousness, one's chetana. One has to develop that consciousness. So, some of them, they left Prabhupada and they went to other gurus in the banks of Radhakund. Those who said that we will give you Swarupa Pranali. You just come to us, we will tell you what is your form, what is your name, where is your service in Vrindavan, and you are in which group of gopis, who are your immediate masters. There are 12 things in Swarupa Pranali, which they reveal. So they said, we will tell you everything. You just have to surrender to us. You take a Swarupa Pranali Diksha. And they took. And hearing that, some people, like one disciple, he was told that you are a peacock in the spiritual world. So he went into a room and shut down the door and started waving his neck like a peacock, like going round and round like a peacock. Somebody asked him, what are you doing? He went and reported to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is practicing to be a peacock in the spiritual world. So one can become a fool. One can be fooled like that. So we are certainly different from the body. We are Atma, pure spirit soul, and the Atma has a Rupa, Swarupa. And we do not know that. So one should not artificially pretend to be someone or something. One should just regulatedly practice this sadhana bhakti process. So that one becomes purified more and more and more. At the right time, the things will be revealed to you. when the right time comes. Like it is said, when one grows up, nobody needs to be taught about beginning a child, how a child is begotten, how the marriage is, how the marriage happens. Everyone knows. Like sometimes children, they don't know. Sometimes small children, 4 or 5 year old children, ask the father, "Father, in your marriage, do you know I was standing near the pillar?" They say like that. But they don't know that they cannot be in the father's marriage, because they would not have been born also that time. But when a person grows, when he is 15, 20 years old, he understands what is marriage, how to lead family life. He understands all these things. He understands what is pregnancy. So this example of pregnancy is very appropriate, because it is said the prema bhakti, which is the mature fruit, it develops gradually by watering the seed of bhakti that is given to us. Guru, he invests the seed of bhakti in our heart when we surrender to him. And how can the seed grow? By regularly watering. What is the watering process? Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Like you are all hearing regularly and you are chanting Hare Krishna. So the creeper of devotion service grows. And then now it is very tender. It can be easily defeated by varieties of things. If it becomes sahajayak, then this plant will dry up. If you become mayavadi or associated with such mayavadis, it will dry up. If you associate with materialistic people, it will dry up. So one has to be very, very careful to protect the plant by putting a fence around the plant and water it regularly. And even if you don't water it regularly, again the plant will dry up. It's not that now I have chanted 1 year, 16 rounds, it's enough. Never you can say enough. One has to go on and on and on regularly chanting. And not just chanting, one should be endeavoring to improve the quality of chanting. Like I was telling about samadhi. Samadhi, if you want to achieve samadhi, avoid all possible distraction. Your mind is going here, there, in various directions. Avoid all of that and fix it on hearing. Then by endeavoring to hearing, endeavoring more and more, then when the hearing becomes very sharp, then some development takes place inside. Some transformation takes place. Anartha nivritti happens. Because in aparadhanam, we don't even endeavor to chant with quality. In aparadhanam. But in Navabhas, we are endeavoring to chant with quality. So that endeavor brings forth the anartha nivritti. And then anartha nivritti takes place, then one is progressing in spiritual life, really progressing. One can see that one's material consciousness reduces, one's spiritual consciousness increases more and more. So internally, one becomes closer and closer and closer to Krishna. How is it? It is something like you feel the presence of Krishna more in your life than the presence of material objects. Just like if I have a camera and I am focusing on Mr. Pandey, sitting there. So I am focusing on him now. So he is the object of my focus now. There may be many people around him, or there may be many things around him. There may be a door and all those things. But they are all in the background, right? I have one object to focus and I am focusing on this person, right? In the same way, in your spiritual life you can see that Krishna is very, very prominent, clear cut scene, and all other things are in the background. It's not that you don't see them. You see them also, but they are all in the background. They are all second priority, third priority, fourth priority, tenth priority, 100th priority. Something which you considered a priority, you have discarded it now. Like that. So one can clearly see that. This is actually the meaning of samadhi. One's focus on Krishna becomes more and more. That's how one goes inward. This is the meaning of going inward. Becoming more Krishna conscious like that. So one has to develop this plant up to the point of time when the mature fruit of Krishna prema comes in it. So it's a very, very delicate plant at this stage. One has to be extremely cautious. There are a million one things to distract you in this world. Still, if you are in the association of devotees and always doing these two things, Shravanam and Ketana, then you can be somehow saved. One should be very careful. And even while executing devotion service, there may be many creepers which look like the plant. Like if there are two grasses, one grass giving grain and the other grass is a cheating grass which doesn't give any grain, like weeds as you say. And both of them look alike, you may be cheated very easily. Instead of watering the grain plant, you may be watering the weeds. So one has to be very, very careful. In devotion life, we may be performing devotion service, but we may be actually cheating ourselves by maintaining some wrong understandings. That is why that Sambandha Jnana is very, very important. There is Tattva Vibhrama, Svatattva Vibhrama, Paratattva Vibhrama, Sadhya Sadhana Vibhrama. These are all Brahma actually, illusion. Svatattva Vibhrama means one may be having an illusion about Atma. He may be thinking, I am God. He is having a Svatattva Vibhrama. Paratattva Vibhrama means one may have an illusion regarding the absolute truth. One may be thinking absolute truth is only impersonal. Or some people say this, thinking about these gopis in Vrindavan is very good and it enhances our consciousness. So we can use it as a ladder to go to impersonal Brahman. That is our understanding. So it's a very, very dangerous misconception that the Mayavadis have. Mayavadis have, they say this, Sapna Simha, they say. Sapna Simha, that's according to them. Sapna Simha means in that night when there is a Sapna in your mind, that a lion is chasing you, you become very afraid. Immediately when you wake up, the body is sweating. Then you understand there is no lion. In the same way, Mayavadis think that this kind of Krishna consciousness or spiritual engagement in serving the deity and Sharanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam and all these different processes, they say these are very good, like a Sapna Simha for awakening us from our material consciousness. So they say, normally everyone in this world is running here and there for materialistic things, and we are also running. But by practicing this, you get awakened. And after awakening, this is not required, you give it up. This is their understanding. What offensive mentality, just see. It's very, very offensive mentality. So their endeavor is to become God, to become one with God. That's why Kapila explains, a devotee, devotee means the first thing you can understand, that a Siddhanta is, that he accepts himself to be servant of God. Naikatmatame sprihayanti kechin matpada seva virata madiha yenyonyato bhagavata prasajya sabhasayante mama paurushani. He says, naikatmatame sprihayanti kechin na ekatmata. Na ekatmata means, my devotee never want to become one with me. Naikatmatame sprihayanti kechin. Spriha means to desire. Kechin. At any point of time, either now or in a liberated stage, my devotees never want to become one with me. Naikatmatami. And what is the desire? Mat pada seva abhirata mat yiha. He is saying, mat pada seva. They only desire to serve my lotus feet. This is their only aspiration in life. Yenyonito bhagavata prasajya sabhajayante mamhoshani. Their only activity is either they are constantly glorifying me by singing my pastimes or they are hearing my pastimes. They have no other business. That is why it is said a Vaishnava devotee, if he is here, as soon as he comes to a new town or any place, what is the first question he will ask? Is there any Vaishnava available here so that I can associate with him? First question he will ask. I think somebody is thinking, is there Prasadam available anywhere? That is also looking for Krishna. No, that is not a wrong thing to do. But generally it is said he looks for a Vaishnava. And then he goes to associate with Vaishnavas. And then he goes and sits in the class, he wants to hear. But sometimes he goes to hear and then they catch him and tell him to give class. And he doesn't mind, so he gives them class. Either he hears Krishna Katha or he speaks Krishna Katha. This is the only business of a devotee. Nothing else. Matpada seva virata madiha. So we also should, as devotees, should behave like that. And should understand how venomous is this desire of this Mayavadis. So they want to use all the pastimes. They also say, we will do Ishta Devata Puja. But what is our goal? We will worship him and climb on his head and we will jump up and go to Brahman. This is the understanding. That is why it is said when Mayavadis are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it is said, it's like taking a chisel or something and beating on the body of Krishna. Krishna feels as if somebody is hitting me with a chisel and Mayavadis chant Hare Krishna. Can you imagine? It is called as Pratibimbanam. Pratibimbanam. It is actually like Surya in the water, isn't it? There is water, there is sun in the water also, but is it the real sun? It's not sun, it is Pratibimba, it is cheating sun. So what the Mayavadis are worshipping Ishta Devata, they are cheating themselves. By trying to worship Ishta Devata and trying to go beyond him, they will go to hell, it is explained. It is explained, Andam tamaha pravishanti, e asambhuti mupasate, tato bhuya ivatetamo, yavu sambhutyam tata, it is said, Nishat Nishat. Those who are worshippers of the impersonal absolute, they, especially by offending the Lord's form and personality, calling Krishna's form to be Maya, such people are destined to go to hell, to deep dark regions, like Andhatamishra, it is explained. So it's a very offensive mentality to think of the Lord's pastimes to be some fiction, to be some imagination. In fact, Lord comes to this world to perform these pastimes, even those places have been left, Kurukshetra, where there was a yuddha, great yuddha, Dwaraka, where the Lord performed pastimes. Even today, I was reading in the Times of India paper, written that so many remains from Dwaraka have been dug out and taken out. And they had written, it is confirmed that a person called Krishna existed. Some 5,000 years ago, he must have existed, because all the things that are mentioned in the scriptures are becoming true. So even the materialistic people at least accept that Krishna existed. But Mayavadis, according to them, either Krishna never existed, or even if Krishna existed, his form is Maya. So this kind of understanding is condemned. So as devotees, all of us, we should perform sadhana bhakti. At the same time, we should read these wonderful pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. Especially when you read how Krishna loves his devotees and how he is working for the benefit of his devotees, then we will understand that Krishna also loves me. Then our desire for achieving Krishna will become very, very strong. Like Vidura, when he heard from Maitreya that Krishna spoke about him. Maitreya was telling him, "You know, Vidura, after talking all these things to me, at last Lord was asking about you. He was telling me, he was talking to me about you." When Vidura heard it, he gave a loud cry out of ecstasy and fell unconscious. So when Vidura understood Lord loves me so much, immediately in his heart the love for the Lord immediately became magnified and accelerated. In the same way, unfortunately, when we are not proper devotees, our love for Krishna is actually very, very completely hidden. It's like a spark of fire that is hidden with huge volumes of smoke. They are not able to see that. So we have to actually kindle that spark and make it bigger and bigger. Further, we have to do two things. One is we should read Shravanam and Kirtanam, we should do, and we should never give any room for sense gratification. Yatra uparamate chittam, he says. Completely keep your mind pacified by not entertaining any object of enjoyment. Like one devotee was telling me that I am becoming so angry with myself, I feel like beating myself, he said. I asked him why. He said, "Especially when I take sweets, my hand, one after other, it keeps on putting in the mouth. I am unable to control. One laddu, two laddu, three laddus. Even after eating five laddus, I am not able to control, Prabhuji." He was telling. He said, "Only at one point I stop and I get my stomach ache. Only then I stop." So I told him, never keep any access to sweets. And he took this advice very seriously. In the same way, never give any access to sense gratification. Completely avoid it. Starve the senses for sense gratification and nourish the senses with Krishna conscious knowledge from the scriptures. The senses will not want to hear the spiritual literatures, but push them, feed them. Hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Take out time and read them, hear them, and discuss with devotees. And the senses will demand sense gratification, but starve them. This is the best formula. Yatra paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, he says. Yatra chayvatmana atmanam pashyanatmana tushiri. Then your skin disease will go away. What is the skin disease? To think I am this body. So you can shed that false ego. And the more you understand I am the soul, I am the soul, I am not the body, gradually you will come to the future sloka as well. Lord says, yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. When we read that, we will explain more about that. The more you shed bodily consciousness, when one understands I am the soul, then one can gradually see everyone else to be soul. And one can also see Krishna to be the supreme soul in everywhere and in everything. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
Sir, Krishna himself said that his devotees only seek for shelter at his lotus feet, Madhya brothers. And so, are they serving differently? Because earlier on the Dasyas.
In fact, in Dasyas, one considers oneself to be servant of Krishna. In Satyas, one considers oneself to be equal to Krishna. And in Vatsalas, one considers oneself to be in a superior position to Krishna. And Krishna wants them to feel like that. Like Yashoda feels, without my protection, Krishna cannot survive. And Krishna loves to be in a subordinate position to his devotees in the spiritual world. That's how he feels a great pleasure. Is it understandable or is it difficult? How Krishna loves to be in a subordinate position to his devotees. I think even in this world we can say some people have that type of desire. Once my father was telling me, he had a grandfather and his grandfather had a relative, had a friend. So he was a very, very old man. He was like 95 or 96 years. So when he used to come to our house, he would call my father with a name and he would pat him. My father was feeling so nice. "Here is one man who calls me by my name and pats me. who treats me as subordinate, you know. Some people find some pleasure in that. So Krishna feels a great pleasure when he is treated as subordinate to his devotees, like Yashoda. You know, when there is a big lightning, Krishna dashes to Yashoda and submerges his head in her lap, you know. And Krishna likes it. Likes by being subordinate to his devotee like that. And gopis, they behave with him in all possible ways. They behave with him as equal, as a superior, as a subordinate. All these previous relationships are all inbuilt in gopis. Yes, correct. This is to give pleasure to Krishna. They know what will please Krishna the most. Like when Satyabhama is angry with Krishna, it's not that she is actually angry. She knows that my anger will please Krishna. That's why she artificially becomes angry. Like that. So this is a very lofty subject. Maybe later when we go to Chatushtoki and all, we can discuss more. Devotee, for a devotee, they said, fall down doesn't matter for a devotee. How it is? It is explained that Narasimhan explains about this. Yatrakva bhabadram abhudamushyakim kauvata aptu abhaditamsa dharmata. He is saying if a person gives up his sadharma and takes devotion service and surrenders to the Lord, he is considered the most glorious because he has the ultimate thing in his hand to achieve. And in the midway, if he has left it somewhere, that is never lost, it is going to come with him. See, which is better to join? Will you join a school having 5th standard, only up to 5 standards, a school having only up to 12 standards, and a school having up to doctorate? Where will you join? Actually, a school which leads up to doctorate, right? It is all encompassing, and there are many big teachers there. In the same way, bhakti process takes you to the ultimate goal. So when one adopts that, in the path of bhakti, the dangers are relatively less compared to path of yoga or path of jnana. Why in the path of jnana there is no engagement for the senses? You see, I don't want to name the institutions, there are so many missions in India. Such mission people, they become sannyasis, they wear this dress. When I was in Bombay, in one of the places in Bombay I had visited, I found one person claiming to be Swami, but he was living in a house. He was living in the house, he had his wife, children, and he was wearing this saffron dress. I was surprised, I asked him, how are you here? He said, I am a karma yogi. So I'm wearing this. I work in that mission, but sometimes I come home to be with my family for some time. So there are people like that. People who come back to their families, and there are people who take to, they build the hospitals, they build the schools, they give uniforms, they give charity, and they consider these things spiritual. Do these things have any connection to spiritual life? No connection at all. These things are very good mundane social activities. So why don't they better join some organization like CRI or something and do some good to the people, instead of becoming spiritualists and cheating the innocent public? So jnanis fall down because they cannot stay there. Simply like a rocket, when it goes into sky, unless rocket agrees to land in some planet, if the rocket says there is no planet anywhere, that's what they say. Impersonalists say, the absolute truth is only impersonal, Brahma. First of all, they don't accept the form of the Lord, then where will they search for the lotus feet? See, unless a person has form, how can he have lotus feet? So they don't say, they say God has no form. So they cannot take shelter of the lotus feet, nor the Vaikuntha planets. They have to come down. Patanti adu anadrupeshma dandre. Similarly, yogis also, some of them in the beginning may be impersonalist. But in Patanjali Yoga Sutra it is said that the ultimate achievement of yogi is to meditate on the Vishnumurti form. So he has to meditate on the Vishnumurti. If he worships the Vishnumurti form, then they can achieve the Vaikuntha. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. We'll do one round chanting Hare Krishna.